Good morning. You see, I'm used to kids' church. We've got lots of space in kids' church, so I just need some space to move around. My name is Melindy Douglas, and it's such a privilege for me to welcome you this morning. And we have kicked off this year with a series on God's holiness. And we set this time apart just to know Him more, to look at Him more. And even as a global family, we set this time apart to look on into a biblical view of God's holiness. Now, as Tammy said, this past week, we also set apart food to, as a physical gesture, to show our utter dependence on God. Now, myself also set apart my brain and my consciousness and my energy, because on day two of the fast, my brain was so fogged over, I could see people moving their mouths, but I could not hear what they were saying. Anybody else had a bit of a hard time, a challenge during the fast? Was it only me? Only me and Serge. I saw him on Tuesday. He looked just as doof as I did. Seal a moment. Now, we did not do this to put ourselves above the rest, to show that our church is a bit more holy than other churches. It was really because of a heart motivation, a desire to set our focus on God and God alone and who He is. Oswald Chambers has this beautiful quote. He said, "Holiness is to shut out every other thought and keep yourself before God. Before God in this one thing only, my utmost for His highest. I am determined to be absolutely and entirely for Him and Him alone." Isn't that beautiful? When we really put our focus on God, when we really, really search Him, we cannot but want to give our all. In my quest, my own personal quest, just to find out more about God's holiness, I read more about the book of Hebrews, and I stumbled across this article by A.J. Hauser, and he said, if you look at Hebraic poetry, it's as much about the words as it is about the silences. What is not said is as important and that what was said. And I thought, it's so applicable. Because sometimes it feels to me that the minute I grasp something of God's holiness, and I think, okay, now I understand, I want to explain it, I'm overwhelmed by speechlessness. And I think, I just want to pause. Because my reverence for God just suck the words out of me. Just who He is leaves me without words. And today we're going to continue on this journey, and we're going to look at holiness restored. How do I restore my holiness? I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that you allow yourself to really see God. I'm going to pray that you allow yourself to listen to what is said, and that what I'm not saying, that God is saying in your heart. Father God, this morning, we are overwhelmed by who you are. My heart is still beating so fast from that minute in worship where it feels like we were so close. It was as if a part of heaven was coming down to us, inviting us. God, we want more of that. We want more of that. We want more of that, even if that leaves us without words, and that we stumble over ourselves just to get to who you are. Father God, please open our ears and our hearts and our minds and our spirits really to grasp what you want to tell us this morning. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles at Hebrews 7, verse 22 to 28. Or go to your apps or follow on the screen. I'm going to read for us. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he, that's Jesus, continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has made perfect forever. Now, how did we end here? How did we end up reading this seemingly unrelated passage? Where does it fit in? What are the things that's not said? I deliberately said, how can I restore my holiness? Because the answer is, I cannot. You cannot. You cannot restore your own holiness. This is what this passage is all about. In the beginning was God. Before everything. Separated. Set apart. Only God. And then God formed everything. He created everything by using his words. And it was good. In Genesis 1 verse 26, God said, and let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And he created them male and female. In Genesis 2, the story of creation is repeated. And it said, and God formed man, and he breathed his breath of life into their nostrils. God's likeness is his holiness. We were made to resemble who God is. We were made to reflect his holiness. We were invited into his presence to walk with him. But that holiness was lost. When sin came into the world, we were removed from God's presence. The holiness was lost. But God did not change. Who he is did not change. His plan for us did not change. God didn't decide to form new humans after Adam and Eve were removed from his presence. We were still created in his likeness to resemble his holiness. We were just removed from his presence. God's standard also, however, did not change. In Leviticus 11, verse 44, God speaks to the Israelites and he says this, for I am the Lord, your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. An impossible standard. Our holiness was lost because of sin. So in an attempt for us to restore our holiness, God ordained a priesthood. Sadly, where Adam and Eve could go directly into God's presence, we were removed from God's presence. We need to go through a priest, through animals, goats, lambs, turtle doves. Matt touched on this last week. And there were so many problems with this. And that's why Hebrews 7 verse 22 is saying Jesus is bringing a better covenant. Because the old covenant had problems, limitations. The first problem with the priestly order was that it was impersonal. Initially, in the Garden of Eden, the communication was clear, direct, personal. Don't eat from this tree. Name these animals. This is your purpose. Rule over this. Now, we had to go through a priest. First, the Israelites, we, needed to be convicted of sin. Then we had to look for an animal. Then we had to look for a priest. And then he could intercede for us to go to God. But we still remained outside of his presence. The priesthood was repetitive. Because the priest himself also had sin. Every time that I went to him to intercede for my sin, he had to intercede for his own sin. And he had to do that every time that someone approached him. That's so many sacrifices over and over again. The other problem of the priest was that he was mortal. He was bound by time and space. The priest could be far from you. The priest could die. And then you needed a new priest. So the old covenant was imperfect, repetitive, and impersonal. Therefore, God said, but Jesus came for a new covenant. Why was Jesus better? Jesus, as our high priest, was personal. He was man. He was fully man. Therefore, he had emotions like us. He understood emotions. He still understands emotion. He can understand our weaknesses and sympathize in our weaknesses. He was tempted like us. Because Jesus is fully man and fully God, he was without sin. So Jesus was still in God's presence. In verse 26, we read this. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Jesus was holy, innocent, not deserving of death, unstained, not removed from God's presence, still able to enter God's presence. The repetitiveness of the old covenant was over. Since Jesus was without sin, he could offer himself as a sacrifice once for all. Once was enough. No matter how many sins we have, once was enough. The Bible didn't say he saved us from the uttermost. If it said he saved us from the uttermost, although he did, but if it only said that, it said, you are saved from your worst sin. Now think about this. If I'm just saved from my worst sin, now I'm saved once, and then I commit a few other sins, it's not covered, if that's only what it said, but it says to the uttermost. It says whatever you need saving for, that is what the sacrifice was about, to the uttermost. Then there's a word in this verse that's so good for me. It's the word separated from sinners. It's in verse 26. That word in the Hebrew is choriso. Because Jesus was unstained and without sin, he was separated from sinners. That exact same word is in Romans 8, verse 37. We know that verse. We like that verse. It says this. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors, and I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. It's the same word. So, if Jesus was separated, the word says divorced, removed from sinners, and nothing can separate me from God's love, it means that I am no longer a sinner. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, I can be in his presence again through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is holiness restored. That means that I am invited back into his presence. Allow me to pause for a minute here. Maybe you are listening to this and you think, I have never, ever had the urge to go into some ritualistic behavior to get myself back into right standing with God. Maybe you think, I've never shed blood to pay for my sin. Never, ever. So what you're telling us is not applicable to me. I want to challenge you that you do have some kind of system. I want to challenge you that you do go at the end of the day and make sure that the balance sheet is okay, that your good somehow outweigh your bad. You have some kind of system that you pay enough money to the poor, but not that the robot, because you don't really trust that guys, but you pay for the good charities. Or you just give enough, you pay it forward. You have some kind of system to make sure that you make it. I have news for you. Whether you believe in God or not, whether you think that you need a Savior or not, you cannot get away from the fact that you were made to reflect, to resemble God's image. You can repetitively try and fill that hole in your heart, that emptiness, because you're not in God's presence. It will remain imperfect until you are restored in your holiness, until you take the invitation to get back into the presence of God. Nothing you do will help you restore your own holiness. When I was 12 years old, our church had a celebration. I can't remember, birthday or something. And the leaders decided that everyone in the congregation was going to bring their tents and their caravans and camp on the church ground. Now, all of my best friends were in church, so this was just like heaven came to earth. We had a lot of church services and concerts, but that wasn't the important part for us. For us was just, we got to see each other every day, morning, noon, and night. And obviously, because I'm young and I wanted to say stupid, adventurous, we wanted, the more we saw of each other, the more we wanted to see of each other. And we realized that this celebration could not be more perfect without a sleepover and a midnight festival in the church kitchen. So I went to my dad to convince him that we needed to sleep, all the children needed to sleep in one tent for the sleepover. I didn't mention the midnight festival. And he said, okay, on one condition, you go to your tent right now and you go to bed right now. And I agreed. And I made an impossible promise because we already spent all our pocket money for the supplies for the midnight festival. So I went straight to the tent and then straight to the kitchen. And as I was going out of the church to get more supplies and friends, I walked into my dad. And he didn't ask me what I was doing there. He knew I was being disobedient. And he just sent me back to the tent. The next morning was Sunday, and my dad was the chosen preacher for the kids' church. And the minute I saw him, I knew that he was so upset with me, and I felt so guilty. And I realized our relationship got hurt here. And I tried everything. I packed chairs. I handed out pamphlets. I was helping with any possible chore there was. And in the middle of the service, my dad gave the kids something to do and created a moment and pulled me apart. And he said, "I see what you're trying to do, but we need to chat." I was so focused just for him not to be mad at me anymore. And I was feeling so guilty. And my dad was focused on the relationship. There's this verse in Isaiah 1, verse 18. And a Hebrew scholar said, it reads like this. Oh, let me first read you how we read it in English. It says, "Come, let us reason together. Although your sin were red as..." Where is it? It's gone. I will remember it. It's go like this. "Although your sin were red like crimson, you will become white as wool. Although you're red as scarlet, you will be white as snow." That Hebrew scholar said, in Hebrew, it reads like this. "Come, walk." It's as if God is saying, let's walk with me. Let's settle this matter. Come into my presence. Isaiah was once called into God's presence, Isaiah 6. And he saw God in all his glory. And he saw mystical beings and angels and seraphim and all things that we don't understand. But the minute he saw God, he saw himself. And his weaknesses. And he said, "Woe is me." And then he saw God's grace and his restoration. And that's what happened with us. When we come closer to God, we see him and we see us. And we see what he wants to do for us. He wants to restore us completely. He wants to take us back. Re means again. He wants to take us again into what he has in store for us initially. The original plan. We sometimes think that Jesus came and his salvation was only to save us from sin and death. We think it was only to keep us from going to hell, to make the guilt stop, just so that God is not mad at us anymore. God is saying that is not why it came. He saved us so that we could become holy and whole. To be transformed into his likeness. Becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and becomes like him, holy. That same Hebrew scholar, her name is, let me read it, Al Grover Frick. And she said, if you read that scripture that we started with, Leviticus 11, verse 44, it's some kind of an apostrophe. If you want the full explanation, you can go to Simeon. He also studied Hebrew. But it's just like an apostrophe. But it changed the sentence that it goes like this. Oh, if you could see that I am holy, you will be holy. It's as if God is saying, if you could see me, you will respond in holiness. Peter is quoting the same scripture. In the first letter of Peter 1, he's talking to the believers, and he say, you heard about Jesus, the hope of his salvation, the inheritance, And then he ends this part and he said, concerning this salvation, it was revealed to you. Therefore, be holy as he who called you is holy. He's saying, you saw his holiness. Respond with holiness. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore. That's the therefore. The therefore is God died for you. Jesus gave everything. He restored you. You were reconciled. Reconciled means you were back in the original position. If your position was originally to be in the presence of God, your position now is to be in the presence of God. And that is the therefore. It said, therefore, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And then the beautiful verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, it says, therefore Jesus reconciled himself to you. Through Jesus, we can enter God's presence again. That's a new covenant, but we're not finished yet, because God called us and Jesus came so that we can enter the eternal covenant. And that is the love story. That is where God started. He starts in the Bible and say, Adam and Eve, yeah, in my presence. And then holiness was lost. And he sent the priests. And it was imperfect. It didn't work. And then he sent the high priest, the perfect high priest. And we could go through Jesus into God's presence. And we end in Revelations. Revelations 21, verse 1. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, behold, the dwelling place of God is with his people. That's us. That's the invitation. That is holiness restored. Oswald Chambers says this, God has one, only one, intended destiny for mankind, holiness. His only goal is to produce saints. God is not some internal blessing machine for people to use. He did not save you out of pity. He came to save you because he created us to be holy. Won't you stand with me? Let us pray. Father God, we cannot but pause in light of who you are. We cannot hear this word and leave here without having it an effect on us. Father God, I want to repent. I know so many times I'm willing to walk in half of your salvation. It's enough for me just not to feel guilty anymore. Father God, I want no more. I want to be in your presence. I want to enter your presence through Jesus. I want to be completely restored. I want to see your holiness and respond with holiness. I want to give an opportunity. If you think that maybe You were one of the people that you were saved, maybe you thought out of pity, just to escape hell, just not to feel guilty anymore. Maybe you thought, you don't really believe this weird story about Jesus and God, but you just don't want to take the chance to go to hell. And today you're thinking, if I can be in God's presence, I rather want that. And if that's you, why don't you put up your hand? You say, Jesus, I want that. I want the full salvation. I want to be restored to your original design. I want to live my life to reflect your holiness. Father God, thank you that you saved us. Jesus, thank you that you came willingly, that your sacrifice was enough once for all, so that we could be restored. Father God, draw us into your presence. Remind us daily, draw us daily closer and closer into you and into your presence, so that there where I put my foot, I will walk with you, and the more I walk with you, the more I will become like you, and the more I become like you, the more I will resemble you. I pray that in the name of Jesus.